page 50. These are mostly short eitzes and hadrachas that the Rebbe is like urgently including at the end of the sefer. The purpose of these eitzes are to bring together some of the things that he was teaching and to help us apply to our lives these teachings. So on page 50, on the bottom there, Ois Vav. Im yalu l'chom achshov ha-ra, that if a person has, if there rises up within a person a machshov ha-ra, a negative thought, something that's inappropriate, arak machshov ha-betelosh, mevabelos ha-ischa, betfilos ha-veterosho, or even if it's stam an arishkeit that comes into your head, an arishkeit that's disturbing your davening and your learning. So he says, habet ha-shamayma, either look towards Shemaim, towards heaven, or segores enecho, close your eyes. The kavein, and think of the following, Hashem Hashem karachum v'chanan. And he says, davke b'machshov aloy b'dibur. He had such a Kabbalah that davke, not to say the words, but to think the words, to try to picture the words in your head. So there's a very powerful, there's a Kabbalah that this is a very powerful way of contending with thoughts that do not belong in tefillah, they might not even belong anywhere. And to think Hashem Hashem karachem v'chanan, ubetach tavar me'alocha bez Hashem, and then certainly those thoughts will be able to be removed. Zayin harbe pa'amim, many times, bein bebeischa bein berachayv, whether you're at home or on the street. To kavein mitoch shvius alayv. Think of the following with a broken heart. But think of the following. Kol ha'olam elokusu. The entire world is all godliness. It's all elokus. The whole world, all of creation is elokus. Gargir chol asher tachas raglay. The grain, the little grain of sand that's beneath my foot, of dirt. Ha'avir shani noshem bekirbi. The air that I'm now breathing, that I'm now... the air that I'm now inhaling. V'chol ha-metzias, metzias ha-lakus heima. And all of reality is just godliness. V'loma ze nisrachakti ani mikol machna ha-shechina zu. And why is it? And look, how's it happened to me? That I've become distanced. That I myself am so far from this entire machna ha-shechina zu, from this camp of godliness, from this Machna Hashchina, Leo's Rishus Latzmi, that I stand, I'm so alone, I'm so by myself. I've created my own self-imposed domain that's so far from all of this. Because everything in the world is a lakus of godliness. Leo's Rishus Latzmi Britzoin, and I've chosen this way, Vedas, Beguf, Af Nefesh Megushom, Chasushom, that I've made my way of thinking, my body, even at the most basic part of my soul, I've made so magushim, so physical. I myself have drawn it so far away from all of this. Rabbanu Shalom, therefore, the person can call out, Rabbanu Shalom, Karveni Elecha, bring me close to you, mitoch kol tov, mitoch tshuva shleima, but in a way that I don't suffer, in a way that I'm able to return to you completely. So the person, just when he's walking on the street, or he's sitting at home, the Rebbe says, can have this simple kavana, this simple thought, by meditating upon this, that every single thing around him is a lakus, even what he's breathing, what he's walking upon, every single thing is a lakus, and that it's like this unbelievable party, this fantastic gathering of godliness, and I'm like, you're the only one that's not part of it, because you're still stuck in your silly physical, with your silly physical thoughts in life. So that can cause a person to have a broken heart and to call out, Rabbanu Shalom Karveini, bring me near. Ches. Page 51. Tizahir ma'odi b'tikum midosecha. Bizetzna says, be very careful. Be very concerned to correct, to work on correcting your midas, your characteristic traits. V'chol midas sh'teida ba'atzmecha sh'yoyse peguma b'cha. And when there's a midah, when there's a characteristic trait inside of you that you know that is, when you know there's something that's blemished, when there's something that's very imperfect. tichpal avodas chaba, then double the work that you put into that midah. There's a tendency of a person that when there's something in his life that he's not succeeding in, the natural tendency of a person is to distance himself from that. So, let's say your natural tendency is to be a generous guy, to be a nice generous guy. So the tendency of a person is to focus completely on that. But when it comes, let's say that same person has a tendency to lose his temper, so he normally will figure that, well, in that area I'm losing, let me try at least to concentrate on the area that I'm successful in. So I'm about tzedakah, I'm a generous person, I'm a giving person. As far as anger is concerned, kaz, that's a losing proposition. And most of us, from a simple business perspective that we've grown up with, we learn whether we actually articulate this to ourselves or we just learn naturally to do this, that if there's something that I'm good at, if a guy is a good softball player and he's not so good at basketball, he would focus on what he's able to be good at. So a person who's good at a certain midah, at a certain trait, he's going to tend to focus on that. And there's something that he's not much lich, and instead of working harder to fix that midah, instead of focusing on that midah, not being depressed, God forbid, but working on it, the natural tendency is, nah, this is something that I'm not much lich in. I'm not good at this, so why should I think about it? I'm not going to bother with this. It's never going to work out. And that, unfortunately, that causes a person's downfall. So he says, davka here, where you feel that there's a problem, where you feel that there's something missing, you should davka work harder to correct it. Tzaddik says that in that area you could davka become great. He says that in Sikkhus Tzaddik, that davka, what seems to be your weakest point, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is drawing your attention to that. The davka there, you could become great. But that's not. But a person actually prefers to ignore that. That's my area. That's the area of my life where I'm unsuccessful. I don't want to think about anything that's unsuccessful. I want to be a successful person. And you have to use all kinds of strategy to fight this war against that midah that is destroying you. You have to investigate and think. Think about eitzes. What can I do to correct this? Not just to let it go, but what can I do to fix this? But the Rebbe says more than that. Try to figure out and think about, and this is something which sounds so simple, but really it's so uncommon that a person thinks about this. The Rebbe says, more importantly than just trying to fix the midah, why don't you try to investigate and think about what is it that's causing you, what is it that's preventing you from fixing this midah? What's holding you back? Why aren't you fixing this midah? Vesa meniyah ta'avir. Try to get rid of that meniyah. Try to get rid of the obstruction. There's something that's preventing you. You're not thinking about this. You're not working on it. You've abandoned yourself to this negative characteristic trait. Have you thought about why is it that you're so afraid of this? Why is it that you're staying away from this? That meniyah, that obstruction, that's a molek. That's a molek. Because a molek is reishis goyim a molek. A molek is the beginning. It's the beginning. The other nations can join in later on. No, it's that you get crazy, you lose your temper, you desire the wrong things. This is all that's America, England, France, Japan, everybody else is joining into the jumping on the bandwagon. But what's that point inside of you? The ikker, the beginning of your problem, that's reishis goyim amolik, that's the beginning. From there, the ra takes off. And therefore the Rebbe is telling us that one has to seek and find and destroy that meniyah. If it hasn't worked, you've tried once, then try again. If this eitzah doesn't work, then try a different eitzah. But if he says you refuse to leave the battlefield, you remain at war with that meniyah, with that obstruction, you will continue and strengthen yourself and fight. Betach yazlach Hashem. V'tuch Allah. Certainly Hashem will help you and you can be victorious. He says, and in general, when it comes to this area of looking into oneself, thinking about oneself and that problem, When you're thinking about your midas, you can have two people that have the same negative midah. Two people with the same problem. Let's say the problem is kaz, anger. They're two angry people. If they don't investigate, if they don't think deeply to try to find out who they really are, to know themselves, it'll be very difficult to defeat this negative mida, to eliminate it. But if the person, if you investigate and go deeply to investigate that mida, and they come to that point, to that beginning, to that nekuda, that's called that reality, that's called Amalek, then Yakalahem Larafois Pitsum Admahera. Then they will quickly be able to heal that injury. Kiyochalias, now listen to what he says. Kiyochalias, because it could be. Sheikhad Mahem Ain Laklal Pagambamidas Kasa. Now there are two angry people, and they both offhand would say, my problem in life is my anger, my temper. But he says it's possible that one of these guys, or both, but in this situation it could be that one of these guys, the real problem is not anger. That's not the Amalek in him. That's not the beginning of his problem. That's not the Rashis Goyim. That's not the beginning. What? So what is the problem? Rakgam shel geyus. It's a problem of gaiva, of conceit. The ego is the real problem. V'kevin shekol b'nei adam nirim b'einav k'kaifim. The problem with this guy is that he looks at all other people like they're monkeys, meaning he looks down on everybody else. He doesn't hold from other people. He holds from Zichaloin. He holds from himself. So therefore, Koes Aleim. He's constantly angry at people because he has disdain for people. It's not, in other words, his mead is not really Kaz. The Reish is going by him. The beginning of his problem is that he's conceited, and that therefore other people are worthless to him. I mean, Mela, when someone does something, So then he's filled with a disgust, and it emerges in the form of anger. He's yelling at people. He mistreats people. So he could be sitting there working on the midah of kaas. He's working on his anger, and his gunus is helfen. It doesn't work. Why? Because he's only concentrating on a symptom. He's not concentrating on the problem. The illness is gaiva, is conceit. The anger is a symptom of that underlying problem. And he hasn't at all zeroed in on the problem. He's only concentrating on the symptom. Koes aleihem mecharef megadef ha'isam. And he's angry and he insults people. You have the same thing with people who have religious issues. I see this kesed, and I've spoken about this very often, that you'll have a person that thinks that he has a very deep theological problem. It's a very deep theological problem. What is it? How could 6 million, had the God let 6 million Jews die? And he thinks of himself as a philosopher that's torn by the evil in existence. Like an Irish guy. 99.9% has nothing to do with that. Because if you're able to see one innocent person get killed, and you're able to contend that there's a God, and you're able to believe that God is good, then how are you able to see 6 million people and say that God, then you should be able to, if you can't theologically, philosophically resolve the issue of innocent people being hurt or killed, then how are you, then if you can't deal with that, then you should be just as troubled by an infant getting run over, God forbid, and other people who are, it's even less of a kasha. It's even less of a kasha. In other words, you have here people that are murderers, that are evil, that are killing people, and here you have Nebuchadnezzar baby. Something falls on his head, he dies. God forbid. Or somebody is sick. 99% of the time, it's not a theological, philosophical issue. It's not like the person even went into the whole sugya. Like, you know, when he sits there reading Eov every night. That's not it. This 99.9%, there's a racious goyim. There's something there that's hurting. There's something there that's in pain. There's a certain midah. Of course, it's all complicated by the theological questions. There's no question. Of course. The theological issues are complicated. But this person is torn apart. It could be because he can't come to terms with the death of somebody. which is understandable. No one's blaming him for that. But he can go his entire life reading books about the Holocaust or asking rabbis, so what do you say? How did 6 million Jews die? Aha! You don't have an answer? I'm not putting on film. That's not the inyan. It's not the point inside of him. That's his questions about the Holocaust, legitimate or not. It's a symptom of another problem. There's a symptom. The person's not able to hear, and there's something that's hurting him, and it could very well be justified. It could very well be justified. A person can grow up in a house where he's raised by Holocaust survivors, and he saw all of his life how they're tormented by it. And a person loves his parents, and there's something emotional inside that clicks off when he thinks of the God that allowed such a thing to happen. It's not so much a question of how did the Holocaust happen, but how do you love a God who allowed this to happen to people who I love, right? And then it hurts people, because people would like, a person who wants to serve Hashem, a person who wants to love Hashem. But it's not that they're looking for a Ramban, or the Maharal is going to help them. You can tell them all the morals in the world. You can tell them all the Rambans and Sof Kol Sof. They can't. It's an emotional issue. There's something there that's blocking. There's a midah that's not working. So the Rebbe's saying here, you have a person. So two people, they're both angry, but one of them, it's not anger that's his midah. It's, yeah, it comes out, it emerges like that. But what his problem is, how he looks at people bichlal. The other person might just have a short fuse. So he says, V'yochel hu lavad kol shenoysev lehetiv ra'as hakas v'layoel. And this guy could be working his entire life to fix this mida. He buys every book on kas, anger. And he's thinking of all kinds of etzes, how do I take care of my anger? Ke'im misha eno bal kas and le'yitzok af yakel afabim es ha'koyf ha'chamor. Hear what he says. Even a person who's not a balkas, even someone who doesn't have a bad temper, but after a while you get fed up when you're surrounded by monkeys and by monkeys and donkeys, he says. In other words, the issue here is not his anger. The issue here is that he looks at people like they're monkeys. He looks at people like they're idiots. He's the only one that knows. And because he's the only one that knows, so he'll start off, you get into an argument with him, and he'll start off, and eventually he's going to get angry. Eventually he's going to get angry because he has to be menatzeach. It's not because the amalek in him is anger. The amalek in him is that he has to be victorious. He's the one that's going to be menatzeach. And if he can't do it with logic and with reason, you know, then he's just going to try to overpower you. And he's just going to yell and he's going to carry on. And that's how he's going to win. Although initially it'll sound like he's just a rational, logical guy. And he is. But the problem is that since he looks down upon you, and he thinks the world of himself, he can't agree to lose this debate. Therefore, if necessary, he'll pull out the weapon of anger. But that's not his sickness. His sickness is his ego. The weapon that he'll pull out, and nowadays it doesn't take more than 10 seconds till someone pulls that out. The weapon that he'll pull out in order to be able to be menatzech, in order to win this war, where his ego can be. Where his ego can feel that it's been, where his ego can feel that it's been properly fed and nurtured, the weapon that he'll take out is anger, but that's not his issue. V'myachkar v'yovo ad legarin kaso, but if he really would investigate and go into understanding himself in a deeper way, what is the amalek, what's the rashis going, what's the beginning of my anger, where does my anger come from? He will see Shirak Geyus Libo. It's Gaiva, it's conceit. Sibas Kaso. That's what's causing it. V'yasaken es midas gavoso. If he works on this, and the Rebbe's not telling us how to work on Gaiva now. That's not the point. However one does that. But if one is honest about oneself and realize that this is the Amalek, the Gaiva, the conceit, then may I get angry. And there are many other ways that I react when I feel that my ego is being injured. A person gets depressed, like I mentioned, he didn't get called up. The guy doesn't get called up to the Torah or something. Some Irish guy, you know, he thought he's going to get half Torah. What? Yeah, whatever. So he's supposed to get this kibud, or he's supposed to be the Baal Tefillah because you know. So he doesn't get, no, they don't call him up, and then he has a terrible bout with depression. And he starts to read books about sadness and about despair and about depression. Like an Irish guy. He's a Balgaiva. He can't believe that the Gabbai doesn't think he's Yosler Rosenblatt or Moshe Kusevitzky. He thinks he's the biggest chazan in the world. He thinks that the whole Olam is waiting to hear hear him sing. Chabalgaiva. He's a Balgaiva. He has a distorted view of himself. And Mimela, since he wasn't called up for the Amid, and the Amid, as you all know, is a special kind of an illness, maybe that needs to be studied separately. So he has a problem with, he's depressed. He tells his wife and kids, I don't know what it is, I can't come to myself. I'm so depressed. He walks around the whole day, ungeblusen, he's upset, he feels bad. This is, and now he's saying, what's wrong with me? Look what kind of a person, this is my Mida. I have such a terrible Mida that I become depressed. You know, I'm a sad person. He's not sad, he's not depressed. He's a Balgaiva. They didn't give him the Amid. That's all. It's not so complicated. He's a Balgaiva. And the Mimela, his gaiva is so strong that when it's not fed, he falls to pieces. He falls to pieces. They didn't put me in this seat. They put me in that seat. You have people that they're ready to destroy a whole chasna. They're ready to destroy the chasna and kala because they put me at this table, they put me at that table. And then he gets angry. He says something. And then later on he thinks to himself, well, you know, I got to work on my kaz. An Irish guy, it's not his kaz. What kind of an idiot of a Balgaiva are you? What difference does it make where you sit? You think that there are 500 people at the wedding. Well, who cares where you sit? You're the only one that thinks that's the most important thing in the world is you're sitting here or in shul, someone put you here and not there. Whatever, all these crazy things. It's not, and you're getting angry. It's not caste that's your problem. Yeah, that's not a nice way to. That's not a nice weapon to use. You know, that's not. But the person's thinking about his caste. It's not caste. How did I lose it? How many times it happens? I don't know to bring even up the Indian, a husband and wife. When somebody gets angry at someone else, so it's about caste, not about caste. It's not about caste. He thinks that he's Ralph Cramden. You know, this guy, what Ralph used to say, you know.
The moon.
Yeah, no, you say, I'm the king. You know, this
the king
is. Remember, I'm the king and this is my castle. Next to guitar, Alice looked at him and said, yes, you're also a king. But he had very funny Lashina. Something like that. So you understand that when you get angry, so the wife knows that it's not this. The issue here is that you're a Balgaiva. You can't be wrong in an argument, so when you're losing it, you start to scream and carry on and act like crazy. And the person of Seichel recognizes this. Only you don't recognize it. So then you say, I'm really sorry, you know, I got angry, it's, you know, I got to work on my temper. And chanami, but that's not the Amalek, that's not the Amalek that's destroying your life. The Amalek that's destroying your life is that you think that you're the king of the castle. Who are you? Who are you? What did you do to become king? So because of that, everybody around you suffers. And it's not just from anger. So one time it comes out like anger. Then you're walking around upset. Well, it comes out in many ways. Even in a subtle way, person, you have a person that indulges in all kinds of physical things. It could also be not from a taiva, it could be from a gaiva. Kum tzimir. Do you know who I am? So it's coming to me. Certain things are coming to me. I come from the Olam HaTanugim. You know, I'm royal. This distortion of how one looks at oneself can have many symptoms, but the illness could be, or it might not be at all. It could be the person Bechlal doesn't hold from himself. Bechlal doesn't, and that's also a sickness. A person doesn't have any self-esteem, doesn't hold from himself. There's no madreig in him of what? No sense of pride and self-worth. So he's also a guy that gets angry. So he's also yelling at everybody. It could be caste is not his issue. His issue is that he's so low in his own eyes. He's so low in his own eyes. And as a result of that, there are symptoms that emerge. So a person has to get to the nekuda, and oftentimes one needs help from a good chaver, from a friend, you know, from a rabbi, from a spouse, a good, you know, someone to help you find who you are, because we get so lost in the forest, you forget where it comes from.
So many of these self-help books just try to treat the symptoms; they don't really try to get back to the root of it.
No, because then they'll all be out of business. They'll all be out of business. This is the Indian of Mechias Amalek. This is Mechias. This is how you Mekai Mechias Amalek. This is how you eradicate Amalek. So he says, V'chein b'midas gaiva. So he says, for instance, he says, you see somebody with the midah of gaiva, of conceit. Okay, the guy comes across like a bal gaiva. Yesh mishu bal gaiva b'emes. There is such a thing as a person who's an emistic bal gaiva. He really is a conceited person. V'yesh mishu sibas gavoso he. And there's another person who he looks like he's a bal gaiva. He talks like a bal gaiva, like someone who's conceited. Shena nimsa, but really, the siba, the cause, the underlying cause is what? Shena nimsa ben anoshim gedoyle mimenu. It's an interesting thing the Rabbi says. He's not really be'etzim a bal gaiva, it's just that his chevra, he's always hanging out with the wrong chevra. There's no one to look up to. There's no one that he feels is better than him. In other words, he's not a bal gaiva be'etzim. It's just that his social setting is such that he lives amongst people for whom it's difficult to have respect. So the result of that is that he comes across like a bal gaiva, and it could be that there's something missing in his environment. He says, "Nimtza ben anoshim shena nimtza ben anoshim gedolim himenu va'afem nimtza benem and yodei es gadlusam." Or sometimes he is with those people, but he doesn't know how great they are. There are people that are with him that are taka great, but he doesn't know. L'chein doimelo shukevan shiyochel umad mad. So he thinks of himself like this: listen, I know how to learn at least a little bit. I know how to learn at least a little bit. Or he thinks of himself, lamdan godelhu. I'm a lamdan, I know how to really learn. V'shich malamala mikol ha'am. And therefore I'm above the entire, the rest of the people. V'takanoso pshuta v'kala. The way to fix, the way to correct and repair this person is simple. She is chabrim v'mandoshim gedolim mena. Why don't you spend some time with people that really know how to learn? That'll take care of you. That'll take care of it. It's not really an issue of gaiva per se. It's just that it's of conceit. It's that he in comparison to the people around him, you have some that in a certain setting that he's able to read Rashi, or remembers one Mishnah, so he already he thinks he's already a Moshe Feinstein, because he knows a Rashi, he knows a little bit of a Mishnah. So it's not so much that he's a bal gaiva be'etzim, it's just that he has to have a couple different friends. Yeah, he's topped out over there, and he has to be brought back down to earth. V'yidabri imayim, he should begin to speak to people of a higher caliber. V'yayin b'svarmi midos ha'mailas gadol mekadoshim, he can read about and learn about the mailas of great people. V'yir b'chisuso, and then he'll come down to earth and he'll realize that there's nothing here that he should be bragging about. V'yiz ba'ish ba'atzmo al gavos akademis, and he'll be embarrassed. No. And he'll be embarrassed, he'll be humiliated when he thinks back about that gaiva. He'll be embarrassed that what kind of a gaiva was I, what kind of a bal gaiva. Tesla yavra lecha yoyim blotar. You see those words? It's very, very clear words. Don't let one day pass in your life without learning. That's the most important thing of all. Not one day of your life ever to pass without learning Torah. Tov shetikova shetikba shas limudecha babaiker. It's preferable to establish a time of learning in the morning, that your time to learn should be in the morning, which we're trying to be mekayim here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohev es hareishis. He says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam loves all beginnings. Whenever something starts, the beginning of a day, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is very connected to all beginnings. Just like you have in Tumah, reishis goyim amalek, and that's where, therefore, in order to fight against amalek, which is the reishis, which is the beginning, one has to be a Jew, that he establishes a strong beginning to each day. To fight against reishis goyim, You don't have the strength when it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night to fight against Amalek. You know that. You can't fight against sleep at that time, let alone to fight against Amalek. Already after what, a whole day of work and being defeated by Amalek Nebuch. So then comes 10:30, 11:30 at night. One doesn't have the koyches and nefesh. But reishis at the time when a person begins, at that beginning of reishis chochma yiras Hashem. When a person has the koiches and nefesh, and Hashem just dipped his neshama into the mikveh overnight, and he's able to start again, so then a person has the koiches and nefesh to rise up and to fight against Amalek. Hashem loves all beginnings. Kidisa b'medrash, it says in medrash, v'im yev shalucha b'barkya yeber, if you can't, if it's not possible. I never like that, you have people that they say this lashon, I'm a night person. What does that mean anyway? That's just a matter of training. I'm a night person, I'm a morning person, I'm an afternoon person, I'm not a person. It's all a question of training yourself. There are people who already have told me from the Chaburi here that I never believed in my life I could have gotten up, you know, at 5:30. I never in my life. Yeah, you never tried. You never tried. You always saw that time, 5:30, is an interruption to your sleep. But if a person is mechazik himself, then he's able to reveal koiches and nefesh that he never knew that he had. And adrabba, any Baal Seichel knows that the morning is the ikachias of a person, not the night. The night person's already drained. The morning is the ikachias. And I tell all my talmidim this, that you see that the Stipler Keseder wrote about this, and I've mentioned this in shul. Why the Stipler says, why are the Bachrim forcing themselves to try to learn at 12, 1 in the morning? The Stipler was so opposed to that. He said, your mind isn't sharp. You're not on the ball. You're struggling to stay awake. The Stipler used to tell the Bachrim, Gei Shluf at 10 o'clock. Dava Marv. Learn a little bit something for a few minutes. Go to sleep. Get up at 3 in the morning. Get up at 3 in the morning. We're not talking about cutting down on the hours. The Stipler says, no. More hours of learning. Not only that, but the quality of the learning that's going to be in the morning. If you had a few hours sleep, the quality. Instead, a person sits there, so it's already 11 o'clock, 12, and he can't, and he's trying, and he can't figure it, and therefore, he's, you know, in the yeshivas, he's going to try to learn something a little bit lighter. It's too hard for him at that hour. Go to sleep. Go to sleep and get up very early with new kaiches and get to work. A person makes this mistake by thinking this whole thing that he's a night person. That was only because he didn't have a brayer. Whatever, it happened, you know. Often in life, it's just you didn't have a choice. But especially when you're getting older and you're not subjected to somebody else's schedule, like in school or in college and with this and that, and you're able to be kaveh for yourself, then a person should try to make the beginning of the day, the ikka time of his learning. And then at night to try, maybe a shiur or something, to look at a little bit. But the main time that a person's able to concentrate is in the morning. If you can't, he says, then it should be at night. Taslacha kitzvah. You should make a kitzvah. Meaning, you should set up a schedule with a specific amount that you intend to learn. Kama, Gemara, Medrash, v'chulu. How much Gemara and Medrash and so on. Tilmud b'chol shavua. How much you want to accomplish in a week. And it has to be something which is realistic. Realistic, and it's setting for yourself goals that are good, but they're realistic. U'b'chol yoyim chayk v'lo yaver. Right? So if a person sets up for himself, I want to finish the parasha with Rashi every week. That means you want to do one aliyah, right? You're going to do an aliyah a day. Chayk v'lo yaver. No matter what. Even if it's a harder aliyah, or the Rashi here is longer. But chayk v'lo yaver, I'm going to manage each day of the week. V'chol kach tisragel behem. You will become so used to this. V'tikva oisam, and it will be so firmly established and fixed in your life and your schedule. Ad shalihi botel mehem, to the point that if you can't do it, if something goes wrong and you didn't feel well, God forbid, you had to go out of town and there was a simcha and you couldn't do it. Yi eslecha k'meichas hashom lesbatel yemil haniach tefillin. It'll be so horrible that in your eyes it's like missing putting on tefillin. It'll be so tragic to you. Then you'll see how you'll find the time to do that thing that you're supposed to do. You will find the time. Just like everybody finds time to put on tefillin, you'll find the time to do this too. Because even when it comes to putting on tefillin and davening, if you didn't accept it in your life as something which is absolutely, absolutely essential, a must, if you didn't accept it in such a way, you'd also think you wouldn't have time to put on tefillin and daven. If it wasn't something which was fixed in your life, you would think that you don't have time for that. It wouldn't fit into your schedule. You would look at your little book and you'd say, today it's not going to work out, tefillin. So how is it that every day we put on tefillin? Because you know that's a chayk v'lo yaver. You can't live without it. So he says, that's how you should establish a time for learning. That you can't live in such a way unless you have that seder hayom, to do that realistic amount of learning that you set for yourself. Hakshev u'shma. He says, listen carefully. Zocha v'shama. Remember and guard this. Kol davar tov, anhaga tov, shata yedei, shetzorech atal asoysa, any good thing, any good midah, any anhaga tov, any good form of behavior, or anhaga, that you know, again, realistically, that would be good for you to do, hein b'talmud Torah, whether it's with learning, with tefillah, or davening, vein v'snaga shel atzmecha, or how you act, l'moshel. Im yedeya ata shetzarech ata lokum bashmeris b'shozu. If you know that you're supposed to get up, that you're supposed to get up early at this time, v'nechshaltav leikam to us. It didn't work out that day. You were nechshal. You failed, and you didn't get up. Or if you accept upon yourself that for a few days there's a certain food, your favorite food, that you're not going to eat, because you like it too much, that food, and you realize that you're becoming meshubed, you're becoming a little bit of a servant to that food. So you took upon yourself that, you know what, for the next five days I'm not eating this thing. Right? Say that as we learned a couple of weeks ago. And you went and you ate that food. In any other area. It should be in your eyes as if you have just done a terrible avera. It should be as if you did, because you violated that kvius that you established for yourself. Not only what the Baruch Shalom made for you. This is what the Baruch Shalom made for you is Torah Shebichsav. But what you accepted upon yourself to make yourself into a Jew is Torah Shebaal Peh. And you violated this. This was your way. Look how people have that weakness that a person feels when he or she was, especially women are particularly preoccupied with dieting. So you know that feeling of weakness that you were makabel upon yourself, and you said to everybody, you know, no, this, you're gonna see a big change, because you got that chelik there that's coming down. You can't even, you know, you can't even see your feet. And there's that chelik that's coming down over there, and you're saying it's enough already. And you're telling everybody, you know, when I was 20 years old, you should have seen me. I was mamish, a gavra, I was in shape. I can't stand this anymore. I'm a slave. I'm an evid, you know, and I can't live with myself. It's not only because how I feel and how I look. That's not so. It's because I'm just so weak. I can't stand it. So then, and you're kabbal with all these kabbalas. So you know that horrible feeling that you have when it doesn't work out, and you're sitting there Friday night, just you, and you're Ivan Yichud with the layer cake, and you're sitting there by yourself, and everybody went to sleep, and you open up the box, and you look at it, and you're saying, I'm not interested in eating it, because I'm a Geber Chayil, I was makabel for myself not to have it, but I just want to see how it's doing. It's an old friend of mine, Sofkel. It wouldn't be nice not to say good Shabbos. So you open up the box, and you look over there, right? And then you begin, all of a sudden, you look at it, and you say, I'm not going to eat any of this, but I'm nervous, it doesn't look nice, it's not straight, the last person didn't eat it, didn't cut it properly, so I'm not chalila going to eat anything because I'm on a diet, I'm a very strong person. But I want to just, what I really am is I'm a sculptor, that's what I really am. And I just want to even it out, to make it look nice. So then the person takes that sliver and says, yeah, it's baltashkas, because if I leave this like that, everybody knows it's going to get stale, that little piece. So I remember my parents were always upset, and my Rebbe told me I'm not allowed to do that, so I'm not going to violate my diet, right? And everybody knows that the Seif Dover is that by the morning, not only can they not only is it that the kids and everybody else can't find a layer cake, but all other mezainis in the house is gone too. All the other, like stuff that you were saving for Bir Chametz is gone. Everything's gone, right? So then it's not the next day, if you're a person that's a Bal Machshav. If you're not a Bal Machshav, then stop. But if you're a Bal Machshav, if you're a person that thinks, it's not so much that, you know, so you got a couple of thousand calories. That's not it. That's not the Yesod. The Yesod Hadavr is that you're such an Eved. What's the matter with you? He made a whole speech, and you know, and you're makabel upon yourself. And look, what's the matter with you? It's the weakness that's the weakness. He's such an Eved. And this is an example of a taiva that's not that does harm, but it does physical harm. And there are other taivas that a person has, right? That a person says, I'm not going to... There's a kid, one of my students was telling me the other day that, you know, they have all these stupid radio programs now. You don't have to even turn on the television. You know, even on the radio, all these talk shows are disgusting shows on the radio. So he tells me, it's like, He tries hard, and then when he gets in the car, he just turns it on. He says he can't control it, and he feels that it brings him down because they talk about disgusting things, and then he gets these crazy thoughts, and then the whole day, and he can't learn, and so on, and the feeling of weakness that he has, that he's meshubet to the radio, or alachas kama v'kama when it comes to a television, that any decent person. A decent human being has to stop and think, what's the matter with me? Why am I meshubah to this thing? And he can't find a way to escape that. When a person violates, a person makes a kvius, I'm not going to do this, and it's something which is reasonable, not something crazy. He works on himself, and he's makabel upon himself, I want to stay away from this, and then he violates it. It has to be in that person's eyes a major transgression. He has to see, he can't just say, no, what are you going to do? It has to be something that's a major transgression in his eyes. That's what the Rebbe is saying. And if this failure is not in his eyes, like something, it's something which causes him anguish and something that he needs to worry about, if it's not that way, then kal shebekalim hu. He's a kal shebekalim. What does it mean, a kal shebekalim? It's a fancy way of saying that he's an idiot. He's a shallow person. He makes for himself a kviyas, and this is his kviyas, and he's going to, and then it doesn't work out, no. So he says, a kal shebekalim, what kind of person are you? Ki akalus hu she'ein amidos chazaka. What does kalus mean? Kal shebekalim. It means a lightweight. We would say nowadays, a lightweight. Why is he called somebody who is a lightweight? Because he supposedly fixed something into his life. But the first little breeze that comes along, come on, no. A little breeze comes along, it's finished. It didn't take some major thing to take away his resolve. A little breeze came along. He's a kal shebekalim, like a piece of straw, like a feather, like a piece of straw. He's a feather. Any wind that comes his way, finished. He says, "Kiseyar." He's like a hair, like a strand of hair. Uchenoitzel, like a feather ba'avir who missed no eya, blown in the wind. He thought that he was, but his commitment is so light. His commitment is so shallow that anything that comes along, a person finds himself making Kabbalah and then talk to the Dibur. You know?
As far as telling other people that you're going on a diet, generally the only reason why a person does something like that is because they know their commitment to it is their own commitment to it is very light. They don't feel that they can be able to keep to it.
Uh-huh.
But they tell everybody else because they'll be embarrassed if they don't.
That's also part of the psyche that goes into it. That's right. And I'll tell you an interesting thing. I think I once mentioned this in shul. My mother's Olga Zunzai. My mother, as a little kid, I don't remember her except Shabbos. I don't remember her without a cigarette. And she used to keep by the Havdalah. She used to keep by the candle, by the psalm. She kept the next cigarette. And I remember growing up in such a house as a little child. Now, when I was around 10 years old, I came down with terrible allergies, and it was, I was sneezing uncontrollably. I was sick. I had to be hospitalized. It was so bad that they had to like sedate me. So there was an allergist and the whole thing, and the allergist called. I remember myself, my parents into the office, and he said what came out from all the testing is that the yisoid should be yisoidus, the issue in your child's life. Is smoke of cigarettes. That I had some sort of a ad hayom, I can't stand it. But I don't have that reaction. But when I was a kid, I had a terrible reaction.
The house was filled.
Yeah, not only that, even when I went places, especially, you know, yeah, I was surrounded by it. Right. Now my mother had tried any gimmick that was available in the world at that time. Because she wanted to stop smoking because she's a smart person and she knew that it's terrible and all the studies were out. She couldn't do it. But the second the doctor said that your son has an allergy, that was the last cigarette my mother ever smoked. That was it. Ever since then, she never touched a cigarette. Because that was the only thing that could be conveying it inside of her was what? Not her own life, but her son's, her child's life. A Jewish mother. That this was the kviyas. This would be conveying inside of her. But all the other gimmicks, there was never a kviyas. People are trying all these things. They read these books. You know, you could use dieting in general. It's a very good way to understand. You know, it's a good musr because you could think of it, and it's a way that doesn't bring out the worst in you. So you're able to think about it, and then from there you can be honest with yourself about the real taivas that are destroying you. Eating is destroying you. Overeating, whatever, indulging. But in terms of ruchnias, from the Indian of dieting, then you can think about other things. The weakness, the fact that there was never a true Kabbalah. There was never a true Kabbalah. And even when there was a Kabbalah, it wasn't done with Seichel. Sometimes the Kabbalah is so extreme that it's not a Kabbalah at all. It's like the Bocher that comes back from Eretz Yisrael swearing that he's going to finish Shas by next year. He thinks that he's like Ramanachem Zembo, the Rogachev, you know. It's not realistic. What kind of Kabbalah is that anyway? Or I always tell the boy, you know, boy tells me that, you know, my Rebbe, my eyes are straying, and you know, and he was Makabal already upon 100 times upon himself, he's not going to look at any of these things in the street when he's walking in the summer. So I always tell him, what are you, you're such a, I said, you're kind of phony. You think that you're not going to look the rest of your life at such a thing. You know what the Satan comes and tells you? The Satan tells you, make some kind of a Fruma Kabbalah, like a real religious Kabbalah, you're never going to look at a girl. Make a Fruma Kabbalah. That's the Satan that's talking to you. If you want to listen to the Yetzer HaTov, the Yetzer HaTov says to you, try for 2 hours not to. Try for 2 hours. Try for a half hour not to. Try one time in the street not to. Because when a person, like Rabbi Nachman used to say, that when a person accepts upon himself the whole Inyan, then it becomes, in his eyes, so overwhelming that internally he never really connected to that Kabbalah. And therefore, a person has to make a Kabbalah that's realistic, and but when he does it, it's b'lev u'b'nefesh. It's with all of his heart and soul. And if he violates it, it should to klap al chait for that, because that was his territory. I'm like a feather. The person says, "I didn't know you're going to bring out that piece of cake. I didn't know." So what do you mean? If there's an emistic of Kabbalah, so it doesn't make a difference if they bring out you. If Mrs. Ziegelbaum, what's her name? That cake that they have. I don't even know what I'm talking about. They have it the simplest. It's supposed to be like a $500 cake or something. So everybody, you know, this is the taiva of all taivas. So you didn't know that they were going to bring out that cake. That was the cake. So in other words, your Kabbalah was for every other cake, but not for the cake. That's the cake. So you understand it's the same thing with the Yetzer Hara. So the Bach will say the same thing. I didn't expect to meet up with such an attractive young lady. I didn't know. My Kabbalah was for other girls. Not this girl. Oh, I had no chance to over here. There's no chance. So the Kabbalah is b'chlal not a Kabbalah. Kabbalah is not a Kabbalah. It's a kal shebekalim. So rega oimid b'mizrach. Look at this guy's life. This second he's standing b'mizrach. He's on the east. A nice little breeze comes along and how he's in the west. You have people that grew up growing in yeshiva. One day he comes in, he's a chassid. 2 days later he's a misnagid. 3 days later he comes in with a ponytail. Let me take some time to grow it. 4 days later he's back to now he's a different kind of chassid. Then he's a different kind of misnagid. And now he says, I like the svardim. So he starts to daven like a svardi. Every single day, Chachamaisa, he's coming in. What a kal shuba kalim, and he looks at himself as being a big oivid Hashem. How oivid Hashem? Nothing. He's trying to find out what's the thing that's going to impress the people the most. What's the thing that's going to make him feel like he's most chashuv? But in terms of a kabbalah of who he is, and to firmly set. Okay, growing up means making decisions. Of course, you change. But here's the deception with this kind of a guy. He doesn't just try to work on something, because it's true. We all go. Sometimes you think, maybe this derech is better for me, that derech. Beseda. Not this guy. You know what he does? In one day, he shows himself to be the biggest chassid in the world. And he's got to have everything, the whole kit. He goes into the store, he says, fix me up. Give me a chassidish kit. I want the whole thing. Aleph til Sof. Give me the kit. Then he thinks he's kaveh himself and he sees himself that if the Baal Shem Tov would be alive, he would be sitting next to the Baal Shem Tov. That's how he sees himself. It doesn't work out. He sees it's not so poshut, whatever it might be. So then he tries something else. But when he does it, he tries the next thing. Comes into the Litvisha store, give me the whole kit. Whatever's included, tell me things about Rav Baruch Ber, give me a picture of the Chazanish. I want the whole thing. The whole thing. And he's going to be a London, and he's going to talk like this. And then also Geitnish. So here, it looks like he's a tremendous Oved. That's not a Voida. That's not called a Voida. You know what a Voida is? A Voida is when a person realistically and humbly tries the beginning. But when he does it, in a way, that he tries it step by step with a kriyas, step by step, and it's something which is real, not stamped to make these leaps. It's not even a leap of faith. But very often these things have very little to do with emunah. It's something else. Something else. And that person generally, you'll find that even in the way that he deals with things in the physical world, it's erratic. He's also like a feather. From one day to the next, this is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Buy here, sell this, do that, do this. He's a Luftmensch. He lives in the air. He goes like this. He goes like this from one thing to the next. Like a little kid, you're my best friend. The next day, no, you're my best friend. And he lives in such a way in the air. In the air. And nothing at all becomes established and fixed inside of him. That's a kal shebekal.
Eventually, they say a kid does it when it's
hard. Huh? Yeah. With each thing, after each thing, which he would, and it's embarrassing in his thing because he just went and bought the whole, you know, he bought the whole thing. So it's embarrassing. But then afterwards, he realizes, right? What did I do? This is too hard for me. I can't do this. This is too hard for me. So then you see him a week later. I mean, something opposite, something else. It was never the kviyas. It was never something which was fixed. It was never something that was really worked on. And also, it was never really getting to the bottom of things. It's immature, and it's a kal shebekalim. Yochel l'kabel atzmo is kol tov midas taivis. Here's a guy that accepts upon himself all midas taivis, all the best characteristics, and so on. Avaloi behem b'lvad eino b'tuach. Ragam al kol aveir shebetor yochel avach hashom b'kalas daito. Not only can this guy who accepts all these good midas, not only... The Rebbe says, not only will you not see these good midas materialize in him on any consistent basis, but he's also perfect prey for the worst avarice in the world. And he thinks of himself, that's how you wonder sometimes, we wonder about ourselves, here I'm working on myself, and Makabal, all kinds of Kabbalahs and Davka, now I did such a crazy avarice. Because you thought that because you went in a certain way, that you really became that person. You thought that because you looked like a tzaddik, and you were acting like a tzaddik, therefore you became a tzaddik. So then when an aveira comes your way, you look at that aveira, you say, you know who I am? You have any idea who I am? Look at me. I look like the people in the Gedolim books. You can't mess around with me. And now the sultan laughs at you, says, Zachar me'ah gadol, yeah. You're a big gadol. It's a joke.
Isn't there a difference when somebody's trying to do something good? So for instance, we talk about, pick one thing and work on that. Right? But I mean, it's different than when a person is looking for, let's say you're in college or whatever it is, but when I was in college, for instance, and I went from thing to thing looking for what was going to...
That person is...
That's not necessarily the win, because not every area is good for you.
100%. That's right. I was saying that before. That part of growing up certainly means making decisions. It does mean, within a certain framework, it means experimenting and searching for oneself, right? No, that's a healthy, natural process of maturing. But the chiluk is as follows. You know, I remember that when did I decide what I wanted to major in? I might have once told this to you. I decided what I wanted to major in when I was online to register. That's how we used to do things, with a lot of thought. So, I was told that I was supposed to be a lawyer. That was the program that was set for me. So, I remember that online, like I'm talking to a couple of guys. So I found some other guy who wants to be a lawyer. So I said, what's a good thing to major in? So now I'm thinking, if I could find this guy, I would wring his neck. So I said, what's a good thing to major in? She says, if you want to be a lawyer, you have to major in political science. I said, really? Why is that? He says, no, all the law school, you have to major in political science. So I already had credits to magisterial, you know, from the yeshiva and all this stuff. So like an idiot, what did I do? I took like 4 political science, because this idiot told me, like, you have to major in political science. I found out later on, you can major in anything you want. But he told me this, and, you know, and I believed in him, and everything. He looked like he really knew what he was doing. He told me, he was, you know, an older guy. So I took all these courses, and I got stuck, because I had so many credits to major. I got stuck, like, in this thing, which nothing against any political scientist, but I loathe with a passion, you know? To this day, like, I can't stand any, you know, I hear of it. And I had to major in it, because I got stuck, because I just couldn't get out. You know, the prerequisites, and that's how it was where I went. Like, it was just really what I always loved in those days. What I loved most, secular things, was literature. That's what I really enjoyed most. But I got, like, into this thing that I couldn't get out of. And this is an immature thing. The immaturity of a person who, when you're... This is the point, Binyamin. You don't really know. You're uncertain. It takes a certain humility to say that, you know, Let me investigate. Let me look into it. Let me try something. But what does an immature person do? This is what I'm talking about. The guy goes to buy the chassid kit or the litvak kit. What does the immature person do? This must be it. It's not like let me try. Let me think about it. It's belev ubenefesh. He throws himself into it, and then it's a big busha, right? Then it's a big busha. But this is immature. It's not the experimenting. That's part of growing up.
It's immature to try to take on everything at one time. You might, I mean, let's say this might be for you, but you have to work your way towards it.
Yeah, you have to establish that it's emes for you.
You can't take on the whole thing at one time.
Right.
Having a unit of things that you know are all good, and you have to get to each one of them, understanding you have to work on a step-by-step process, as opposed to going into a profession, so to speak, everything that you try, you can't necessarily be that good at.
Right, right. It's a process. Look, only when we left Mitzrayim it was b'chipazon. Otherwise it's immature to rush, right? Leaving Mitzrayim is, when you have to get out of Tumah, then you rush. Then you have to rush. Otherwise, you have to do things with seichel and with seder. But it's a very immature thing. It's very, very common. And you know, like when you sit and you talk to young people, and they think that you're crazy, you know, and you're trying to give an etzah, and you remember yourself when you were going crazy and running around doing things. You try to give something. They look at you like you're from outer space, and you know that there's something self-destructive that the kid's going to do, and you hear it and you see yourself in that. You see yourself in the same place. 20, 30, 40 years ago, you see yourself mamish in the same place. And you want to say, slow down. Slow down. When it comes to Shaduchim, you know, it's scary. It's scary how some of the young people, how they're making decisions how to get married. The format, the criteria for getting married. And Hanami. But we learned a little bit over the years. So you're trying to tell your kid, or someone wants to tell the grandchild, take it easy, you know, we got to work this out a little bit. And they look at you like you're a Haman Arasha for saying it. You can't even say it. And you know that this is dangerous. And you know that it's going to be b'chipazon, they could be destroyed. But what are you going to do? Everybody has b'chira chavshus, right? Everybody has free choice. We have, this is fast. Good. Tilmud Tanakh, Mishnayos Gemara, the Rebbe says in Yud Aleph, learn Tanakh, learn Mishnayos Gemara, Zohar Kaddish, Medrash. I remember he was talking to Bachim, so don't get depressed. He was talking to Yeshiva Bachim. So not everybody has the time when they're already older and working. So he says, learn these things. When you learn, you should think. You should remember how every single letter of what you're learning, every ice, is a fire that's descending from above. It's like a fire that's coming from the higher world. L'chalas is a sitra achra, and that fire is coming to destroy, to vanquish the sitra achra, the other side of impurity, that surrounds you, mezgarabacha, and it's tempting you. Let's say that you're not able to have your regular seder in learning. Each day you should have Mishnayos, Tanakh, Gemara, Zohar Kaddish, Medrash. Let's say you're not able to divide it up that way. Sometimes you have a person that he can't break up his day in that way to have a certain amount of time, Mishnayos, Medrash, whatever, Tanakh. So for that person, it might be better to have 4 days straight, just Gemara. There are people that are like that, the Rebbe says, because that they're focused. 4 days Gemara, and then take another day where it's the Medrash and the Parsha. In other words, it depends who you are. Different people have different natiyas of how to learn. Tilmud Sifrei Chassidus. You should learn Sifrei Chassidus. Look what he calls Sifrei Chassidus. It doesn't begin with the Baal Shem Tov. Sifrei Chassidus, it says, Kegon Shalah, the Shalah HaKadosh, Sifrei Maral. Of course, that's before the Baal Shem Tov. But he means that Torah, that type of Torah, the Shalah, the Sifrei Maral, Sifrei Chassidim Yishayinim, Kegon, the earlier Chassidim, the early Tzaddikim, to try to learn also, Shalom Magid HaGadol, the Mizrit Shemagid, Noam Elimelech, Kedushas Levi, Kuflam is Kedushas Levi, Vedichev, Magi Mikoshnitz. Now he already goes to Mishpacha. Imrei Vedivrei Elimelech. That was his father. He put it in. It's very sweet because his father's not one of the earlier. His father was a Kodesh Elyon, the Divrei Elimelech, but he wasn't. He's saying the earlier teachers of the early. He's saying all the early students of the Baal Shem Tov. When I looked at this the first time when I saw this, it's very sweet because he's talking about the Kedushas Levi, Mizrit Shemagid, and all of a sudden he skips like 150 years. He says Divrei Elimelech. That's his father. That was his father's from the 20th century. He's the Divrei Elimelech. He brings both of his father's from the Imrei V'Divrei Elimelech. All right, now he goes back to the old days. Beis Aaron is the Stalin of the Kalina. V'afilu im yeshnam dvarim, shein atem evinim. Now, even though there are things in these Svarim that you don't understand. Gamkein al tanach yad chamihem. Don't ignore them. Keep on learning. Even though there are things there in Yonim here that you have a hard time with, he says, al tanach yad chamihem. Don't pull your hand away from them. Kevin shall call upon him as darkim derech hakodesh. You know that this path is the path of kedusha of holiness. Derech hachsidus shabam. The way of chassidus. Atamevin kifi yachaltecha. You're still picking up very strong things along the way. Even though you might not get every vart. You might not chap exactly how this fits in, what the Zohar is saying that's brought down in the Kedushas Levi. But if you learn Kedushas Levi over time, you're definitely going to get a picture, a feeling of what the Baditcher was telling you, of what he's talking about. You might not understand every Torah, but you for sure will get a feeling for what the Rebbe's telling you, for the Tzaddik, for the Avira, for the atmosphere of the Kedushas Levi, for the world that he lived in, you for sure will get a feeling for it. The Chutz Mizeh, and not only that, he says, "Divrayim ba'atzmam." Even the words themselves, "Ruach Kodshim shebehem," yidabchu b'cha. Their spirit of holiness will become attached to you. Even if you just say the verity, you don't even have to. You're just saying the words. You're trying. When you connect, when you're trying to say over peace from Kedushas Levi, then the Bedishva connects to you. The Bedishva's ruach becomes connected to you. Or you learn a Torah from Zvicha Magid. The Torah becomes connected to you. The tzaddik connects to you. The tetayr, and it has a purifying effect upon your life. Tilmud gamaat sifrei Kabbalah. He is saying the bachrim.
Bachrim.
These are not necessarily fellows that are married, that are working. It seems that he's talking to fellows that are still in the yeshiva. Not 12-year-olds, but the older bachrim. And he says, to learn, he says, also such a thing, he says, Kabbalah, can you imagine if you say this, to learn, he says, Gama'at Sifrei Kabbalah, a little bit Sifrei Kabbalah, shall call upon him like Tia Behem Bor V'Amaris L'Gamrei, that you shouldn't be totally ignorant of these things. A Sefer, what Sefer? He says, Shefatal, Toivloch, from the Shefatal, Rav Sheftel, to learn, Svarm, beginning Svarm, to learn Hakdomis to Kabbalah, that he says that, again, remember that he's talking to Chassidish Abacher in those days with the familiarity with certain concepts is much more advanced than the way we're growing up here in America. So if he said Ma'at Sifrei Kabbalah, so one has to be careful nowadays how that would be applied. One shouldn't delude oneself. We have to be very, very careful to learn each person according to the Seder, according to his Madrega. I think next time we're going to finish the Sefer, and then after the Sefer, he has. Oh, it's Purim is. Next Friday is Purim. Uh huh. So the following Friday to finish the Sefer, and then he has Kabbalahs, amazing Kabbalahs and Tfilas that we should do together. But it'll only take us maybe one at most 2 weeks after that. Mitzvah Shem.